What's up, aspiring and current houseplant parents? Welcome to the Indoor Jungle Podcast. I am Storm Shaw, here to bring you houseplant inspiration, tips on how to curate your indoor jungle on a budget, and other information about keeping those sweet green babies alive. What's up, plant hoes? Here we are again, episode 2, Indoor Jungle. And let's just get this out of the way up front. Episode 1, I do this weird tongue smacking thing over and over again. It's like, and I'm going to try not to do that anymore because it's horrendous. So we'll see how it goes. I'm like overly conscious of it. So I figure today we start off with a plant spotlight. I think I'm going to do these here and there just to share some more informational background on specific plants. And that way you can spout it off at some point in a conversation when it comes up and sound really smart and then be like, yeah, I learned it from this podcast, and then plug me. You know what I mean? So our plant spotlight for today is a jade plant. It is the, and I'm going to butcher the proper name for it here, but the Crassula ovata. And I chose this one because it was one of my first plants that I ever got. And I mentioned that in episode 1. It was one of my first 3 succulents that I ever owned. I got it from the farmer's market in Kansas City. It was this sweet, adorable little plant in a nursery pot. And now it's a big boy in recovery. I'll talk about that here in just a second. In like a 12-inch pot, maybe. It's doing pretty good. But this last summer, I overwatered it or something. It was definitely suffering from root rot, and it had a lot of leaf drop. So it was basically just like spindly stalks. And I repotted it, did everything I could to avoid the root rot, and we're on the path to recovery. Got all new growth everywhere. It's looking nice. I'll post a picture on the Instagram at plantdaddykc for you to check that out if you'd like. Oh, I just did the tongue smack. Oh, well, leaving it. So, yeah, the jade or the Crassula ovata is a succulent, which means it's basically got that fleshy style leaves and stalk, and means some other things, but that's the main gist of it, is the appearance and the texture of it. And it's got these beautiful green teardrop shaped leaves that are that sort of match on each side of the stalk as it grows up. And it's typically like a jade green, right? That's where it gets the common name for it. But if it gets a lot of sunlight, it actually can get this really beautiful red tinging around the edges of it, which is nice. It's native to South Africa and Mozambique. And what I found really interesting in looking this plant up is that it's actually considered an evergreen, much like a pine tree and other trees that are non-deciduous, that basically it keeps its foliage year-round, which makes sense, but I never would have considered that a succulent, like a jade, would be an evergreen, but it is. So what's cool about it is they start in these fleshy green stalks that, like I said, as they grow up, the leaves grow out symmetrically from either side of the stalk. So it puts out kind of like 2 leaves on either side of each other, goes up, puts out 2 more, and so on. And over time, the main stalk can actually take on a more rigid and brown color and texture, almost like a trunk. These are actually really good for, pardon that, I'm doing this at work and there's bells. The jade is good for the bonsai treatment, right? It can be curated into a bonsai look. So it actually has like a little trunk and branches appearance if you do it right. But what's interesting is that that trunk, it looks like a true trunk of a tree or something like that, but it's not lignified tissue, which is basically just a fancy word for the type of tissue that creates a true tree trunk and bark. It's still fleshy. It's still a plant material. So it's still soft, even though it looks rigid and brown. It's not actually bark. These the jade plant can flower, which it's tough to get to do indoors. But if you have a grow light or at least just really good sunlight, you can get it to put out radially symmetric white or pink flowers. And it actually does it during the fall and winter rather than the summer. So this time of year right now, if you can get the proper lighting conditions and watering and everything is kosher, then it'll put out some flowers, which is cool. So that's our plant spotlight. If you don't have a jade, I recommend it. They're pretty easy to keep alive if you don't overwater it or anything like that. And they're just absolutely gorgeous plants that last a long time. So go get yourself a jade. All right, so we got our plant spotlight done. Look forward to some more. Hopefully you can gain a little Rolodex of plant knowledge and different plants and things like that. So I want to spend, oh, there, I did it again. I have such a problem. Maybe this podcast will really become a journey about me trying not to smack my mouth like that. That's awful. Anyway, last time we talked about why someone might decide to collect houseplants, the benefits of collecting houseplants, both me personally and scientifically. Talked a little bit about that briefly. Now, if you're still listening, it means you've gone, okay, great. I hear you. There's benefits. I want to do this thing. So this episode, I want to focus on really the first steps to starting your collection. And there'll still be some stuff in here if you've already got a houseplant collection going on. A little bit later, I'm going to talk about ways to either start a collection or expand a collection on a budget. Different ways you can get plants that won't cost you an arm and a leg. So first, I'm going to go into basically before you choose a plant, before you talk about ways to get plants, you've got to decide how much work do you want to put in. Owning houseplants can be a labor-intensive, very focused thing where you have to have really complicated different watering schedules and finicky plants that need to be misted, this, that, and the other thing on different schedules. Yeah, different levels of care required for different kinds of plants. So basically start with the self-inventory, checking in with yourself. You know, am I an attentive person? Am I going to remember the needs of this plant that's more finicky, et cetera? Because plants, especially higher need plants, are often quite expensive. And it's going to be a lot harder to find them for affordable ways. And so if you know that you're, you know, maybe not going to be the most attentive, or maybe you've tried caring for plants in the past and you just keep killing them, which it happens, you know, plants die sometimes, but it can be avoided. And so you have to ask yourself, how attentive do you want to be, or how much trust do you have in yourself to be on top of this? It should be a fun and relaxing endeavor, not something that you have to stress about and fear. So just do that little inventory. How attentive am I? How much work do I want to put in? The good news is, even if you're not super attentive, you can still be a successful plant owner. There are plants out there for you, I promise. And I'm going to go into a couple of them here in a minute. Plants that are very reliable. I already mentioned the jade succulent. Mini succulents are super easy. You just put them in a pot with like cactus soil mixture, water them in the summer at most once a week, in the fall and winter every 3 weeks, make sure they're drying out between waterings, and you're golden. They stay beautiful and they grow and you get to see progress. It's nice. So succulents are a great starting point for a lot of plant owners. But succulents are often pretty small, and so I wanted to get into some plants that can have a little bit more volume to them, but still don't require a whole lot of attention or effort. Plants that can survive being ignored or neglected, if you will. So our first one up, and for these, I'm just going to tell you a little bit. I'm going to tell you what the plant is and how they look and why they're easy to take care of, although I'm not going to go in as much depth as the plant spotlight. So if you want to learn more, maybe they'll show up in the future in a plant spotlight, but this is just like a quick overview. So first up after succulents in general is the snake plant. It's got a lot of names. It's also sometimes referred to mother-in-law's tongue. It can also be called, like, its proper name is Sansevieria. I can never say it. They're all, you know, difficult to pronounce, but snake plant or mother-in-law's tongue is its most common names. And this plant is great because it's got a really striking look. To me, this really speaks of like, modern, house plant. It's got these long, tall, pointy, like leaves that come straight out of the soil, right? And they can get pretty dang tall. They can get up to, I don't know, anywhere between 3 and 5 feet if given the proper pot size to grow and they're watered and everything. But they're great because they're extremely tough. They can be ignored. They can be in low light. They can be underwatered sometimes, although not recommended, overwatered, and they just stay alive. And that being said, snake plants don't grow super fast once they reach a certain size. And so it's not a plant that you're going to get that reward of seeing its growth, super quickly, but still if you pick one of these up, that's already kind of matured, then it's just a nice look and they stay alive. And even if your lighting conditions, aren't the greatest, then it's a beautiful beginner plant. Keep them alive. They come in lots of different patterns, different leaf shapes. There's different variations of the snake plant. The most common one you're going to see is kind of like the broader leaf, sort of flat, broad leaf that ends in a point with kind of like yellow stripes going up the edges. Although there are others that are more marbled looking. There's variations that are more conical shaped, but those are a little bit harder to find at some of the budget places. But yeah, snake plant, they're awesome, they're beautiful, easy to keep alive. Moving on to another great starting plant, we've got the devil's ivy, also known as pothos. There's variations, so it's got different ones. There's another proper name that's like Epipremnum aureum. The proper names I'm going to butcher, but that's half the fun. These are your ivies. They've been around for a long time in terms of the houseplant world, but they're beautiful. The great thing about the pothos plants is that other than being easy to keep alive for the most part, they do grow quickly. Whereas the snake plant didn't, you get to see these flourish. You get to see these, if you hang it or put it on a high bookshelf, you get to see them over a couple months period start to really drape down and hang. And it's gorgeous. They're beautiful. They're these, you know, sort of traditional leaf shapes, shapes with marbling all over the leaves. Called variegations, and it comes in like neon, which is like this bright green yellow color, golden, which has that marbling, and various others I'm probably not even aware of, but they're beautiful. These are often the plant that I gift to my friends who are saying they want to start raising houseplants, because they're easy to keep alive and there's the reward of seeing them grow. seeing the efforts you put in pay off. In terms of light needs, it needs more than the snake plant, but you can get away still if with lower light conditions if your, you know, window setup isn't the greatest. So those are probably, in my opinion, the two houseplants aside from succulents that are just really nice starting plants for their ease of care and their appearance. They look nice and they're going to stay alive for you. So then the question becomes, how do I get these plants if I'm not trying to spend an arm and a leg? Well, I wanted to share a couple of ways to get that collection going on a budget or even free in some cases. So here's a couple of ways that I have obtained more plants without spending any money or just very little money. So obviously, the cheapest way is free, right? And I've got a couple ways in mind that I've done. And then if you hear this and you have other ways of obtaining plants for free, please shoot me a direct message on the Instagram at plantdaddykc or comment on one of the pictures, what have you. I'd love to hear some of your ideas. But there are usually local plant swap pages on Facebook. So wherever you're located, just look up, you know, like for me, it's Kansas City Houseplant Swap, but I'm sure you could find various different things depending on where you're located. And a lot of people are, you know, if they're on there, they also love houseplants, which means they've probably got a lot of growth, and typically people are pruning their plants, which means they've just got all these cuttings and they're looking to trade those cuttings. Although sometimes people are totally willing to just give those away. So I've gotten some pothos cuttings that I mentioned earlier that I've got right now. They're actually water bound in my bathroom, which basically just means I rooted them in water. And then after a certain point, the roots become so fully grown and used to that water environment that it wouldn't do well to transfer to soil. So that they stay in a mason jar with just water, no soil. But yeah, so those plant swap pages are a great spot for that. I've given away some pilea cuttings, which are like the pancake plant or UFO plant, whatever. That'll probably get a spotlight here soon in a future episode. I love that plant. So check that out. You know, just message people. They're usually willing to meet, or right now during the COVID situation, sometimes people will leave cuttings out on the porch for you, what have you, and you can collect those. Although obviously cuttings are very small and you've got to be patient, but they're free, so why not, right? So another place to check out and get free plants would be cuttings from friends. So, you know, maybe you don't want to get cuttings from strangers right now, or you don't want to navigate Facebook or whatever the case is, but sometimes you know, our friends are who inspire us to start caring for plants. Coming up this weekend, actually, I'm going to be giving some cuttings to a good old friend of mine. Shout out to Kim, who was asking for either pink or purple plants to curate her vibe. And so I'm giving her some cuttings from, let me actually look up, because I don't like the original name for this. The inch plant. It's also got another less kind. It's called the Wandering Jew. I'm not sure why. So that's what it is. But it's also called the inch plant. But it's these nice vines that grow and kind of creep everywhere, and they're purpley green. They're gorgeous. But I'm going to give some of those cuttings to her this weekend. The last free option that I recommend checking out is something I actually encountered on Reddit called prop lifting. And it's exactly what it sounds like. It's a play on shoplifting, but instead you take just little cuttings to propagate on your own. I am not ashamed to say that I have done this. Semi-recently I was in a shop that will remain nameless so I don't incriminate myself. And they had a beautiful succulent that I really liked that I didn't have. I wasn't sure what kind it was. So I simply snapped off, 3-inch section of one of the stalks, and I'm rooting it currently. Obviously this one, you can get yourself in some trouble, but if you see a plant that you know can be rooted through propagation and you know how to properly, where to properly cut it, then you just take a little section of it and throw it in some water until it roots, or in some cases just set it on some soil until it roots. And there you go. You've prop lifted and you've got yourself a plant. So those are kind of my three free ways to get some plants started. You'll obviously have to still buy pots and soil and things eventually, but you can at least get some of the cuttings that way. So again, that's Facebook plant swap pages, asking your friends for cuttings, which if they like plants, they're usually more than happy to give you some cuttings. And then prop lifting, which I want to see that take off. The old post-punk side of me wants to see people all over Facebook, all over Instagram doing like videos and do hashtag prop lifting and tag at Plant Daddy KC in it. I want to see that take off. And then transitioning from free, the last kind of thing I say is check out IKEA if you have one near you, and Home Depot, because they have, for whatever reason, fully grown plants for a little bit cheaper than some other places that you're going to find. If you can, I recommend getting or going to local nurseries or local greenhouses, etc. There's a couple in Kansas City that I really like. Family Tree Nursery is cool. Larry's Nursery up in North KC. What else? Paradise Garden Club is cool. I'm sure I'm leaving some out, but there's some cool local nurseries and greenhouses, which I recommend going to first. But again, if you're on a budget, then some of those can get a little pricey. So if you're looking for affordable plants that are bigger, check out IKEA and Home Depot. But I also actually just remembered, I wanted to give a shout out to Verdant, which is related to Convivial Productions in Kansas City. I don't know if you are familiar. Convivial Productions has a lot to do with ceramics and things like that. But they have a storefront now called Verdant. And they have all kinds of plant goods. The Convivial Productions ceramics have planters, mugs, all kinds of stuff. There's cool plant print blankets and actual plants, and they do flower arrangements and candles and greeting cards and all kinds of stuff. But for some of their bigger plants, they're surprisingly affordable. So check out Verdant as well. Shout out to Verdant if this makes it to you guys. So yeah, those are kind of my recommendations for ways to collect on a budget. And I think that's kind of where you should start, is identify what plants that you think you can keep alive. Maybe in next week's episode, I will look into some finickier plants, but with higher, some high payoff, like the fiddly fig. We'll talk about that one. And we'll talk about how to pot your plants, soil mixtures, the actual physical arrangement of stuff within the pot before you put the plant in, all that jazz, so that you can set yourself up for success. And that might cover repotting just for future reference. So thank you so much for listening to episode 2. I hope to continue to put out content and information that is interesting, engaging, and helpful to you if you're trying to start on this houseplant collection journey. So keep tuning in each week, and hopefully we'll learn more and more together. I look forward to hearing from you again. Please reach out on Instagram at plantdaddykc. Facebook works as well, although I check that one less often. And then check out the website with blog information and links to the podcast. It's plantdaddykc.wixsite.com/indoorjungle. I know that's clunky, but I'm working on it. So anyway, look forward to hearing from you, and get out there and start growing. What's up, aspiring and current houseplant parents? Welcome to the Indoor Jungle Podcast. I am Storm Shaw, here to bring you houseplant inspiration, tips on how to curate your indoor jungle on a budget, and other information about keeping those sweet green babies alive.